Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Yud Aleph. You're holding on the second line of daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph Minaha Milsa. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, and Hashem Shav and Aliyah. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. There is one topic and only one topic on today's daf, and that is how we know that Azlinan Basaruba, that we follow the Rov. The Gemara is going to have 10 possibilities of how we know we follow Rov, and that's it. That's the whole daf. 10 possibilities of where we know that Azlinan Basaruba. So let us begin. Minah Milsadam Rabban Azil Basaruba. What is the source in the Torah that we follow Rov? So the Gemara says, Minalan, what's the source? Dichsiv Achriram Lahatos. Pasuk says Achriram Lahatos, that when you have a Sanhedrin or a Beis Din and the Dayanim disagree as to what the outcome should be, we follow the majority of the Dayanim. So you see very explicitly that we follow Rov. Now Reb Chaim points out that really there are two separate types of Rov. There's two types of following Rov. There's the concept of Halech Achar HaRov, that when you have a suffix about something, whether a piece of meat is kosher or not kosher, so we follow the Rov. We assume it came from the Rov. It came from the 9 stores that are selling Basar Shchuta and not the one that's selling Basar Nevela. But then there's a different concept in Rov called Bittel Barov, that if it's one item, but you don't know whether it's the item is Asar or Mutter, but you do know that there's a little bit of Isser mixed with a whole lot of heter, so then we say that the Rov is Mevarer, the Mahus of the entire Taroves, that this Taroves is looked at based on the Rov, and the Isser becomes heter. That's what we that's similar to the concept of Rubo Kikulo, that when it comes to Shechita Sasimanim of a Behema, that you have to Shecht the Simanim, but you only really need to get Rov HaSimanim, because Rubo is Kikulo. So the Acharim ask, well, wait just a second. If there are two totally different dinim relating to Rov, there's the idea of Halecha HaRov, and there's the idea of Bittel Barov, and they're not really connected to one another, how do we derive both of them from Achre Rabim Lahatos? So that's what Reb Chaim explains, another Achronim as well, that when the Torah says that we follow the Rov of the Dayanim, both Chidushim of Rov are actually implicit in the idea that we follow Rov of Dayanim, because L'chora, the Torah requires, in order for Dine Mamonis to be Paskind, that you have 3 Dayanim Paskining, and when it comes to Dine Nefashos, you need to have 23 Dayanim Paskining. So if you're going to have a Sanhedrin of 23 judges, but only 13 of them are Paskining one way or the other, and we're following those 13 Dayanim, where's your Sanhedrin of 23 Dayanim? You're only following 13 Dayanim and not 23 Dayanim. You have a Basin of Dine Mamnes, and 2 of them vote one way and 1 of them votes the other way. You're only following 2 of the Dayanim. Where's your Basin of 3? So what you have to say is that the Torah tells us, by telling us that we follow the Rov votes of the Dayanim, that the Miut of the Dayanim are also Mitztarif to that Rov. And therefore it says, if it's a full Sanhedrin or a full Beis Din, that's paskening the halacha. Oh, that's the idea of Rubo Kikulo, or Bittel Barov, that the entire body, the entire entity, the entire unit goes by the Rov, and we view all of it as if it's part of the Rov, that the Miut is Mitztaref to the Rov. But that's not enough, because you still need to know who's right. How do I know that just because 13 members of the Sanhedrin vote Chayiv and 10 vote Pater, that he's actually Chayiv? Maybe the 10 are right and not the 13. Oh, for that, we the Torah tells us Achram Lahatos, because of Halecha Achar HaRov. Just like the Tisha Chanuyos Mochus Basar Shchuta, so it's almost the perfect case that the Torah gave us to be able to learn both types of following the Rov. That by telling us in the context of a Sanhedrin that you follow Rov HaDayanim, now I know all of the different types of following the Rov. Says the Gemara, almost all of the different types. Ruba di isa kaman kigon tisha chanuyos v'Sanhedrin lo kami bayilan. Yeah, to tell me that we follow a Rov when you have a certain number in front of you, and you can count and say, oh, there's the Rov, there's the Miut, yeah, that I get. Meaning, if you have 10 stores in town, 9 of them are selling Basar Shchuta, 1 selling Basar Nevela, you have 23 judges in front of you, 13 vote one way, 10 vote the other way. So yeah, that I understand, that you certainly are able to derive from Achram Nahatos. That wasn't the Shaila. Ki kami bailan, Ruba Delesa kaman. Our Shaila is about Ruba Delesa kaman, Kigon Katan Ukatana, where there's a Rov in society, a rov of what we generally view to be what normally happens, like a katan or a katana, where we're not sure when they get older, are they going to be a sris? Are they going to be an islandess? I mean, are they going to be able to have children? So if you have a yavam who's a katan, who's boel, a yavama who's a katana, that we're not choshesh that he's really going to be a sris or she's really going to be an islandess, and therefore it wasn't a valid yibum because they're not royal leilin anyway. Why are we not choshesh? Because rov katanim shabiolam are not going to be srisim and are not going to be an islandess when they get older, and therefore they can do the yibum will be valid. That's not a rove of something you can count in front of you. It's this one child. It's just that you're assuming that this one child is going to turn out a certain way because most people in the world are able to have children when they get older. But so we could assume that the same is going to be true of this katan or katana. So that's a ruba delesa kaman. That's not a rove of something that's in front of us. That's a rove that we often refer to as a chazaka. So minalan, how do I know that we follow a rove even in such a case? Now, why is it that we're making the assumption that a ruba di isa kaman is somehow better than a ruba de lesa kaman? Meaning, once the Torah tells me that we follow a ruba di isa kaman, so why do I assume that that's not good enough to tell me that I follow a ruba de lesa kaman? So Rav Elchanan writes in Kovetz Shiurim that a ruba di isa kaman comes from the knowledge of each prat among the pratim. A ruba de lesa kaman comes from no specific knowledge. It's a yediya klalis, rov behemos ksheros, or something like that, with a general knowledge. So since I have no specific knowledge of anything in front of me, of anything related to this case that I'm discussing, that I'm worried about, there's nothing specific to this case that gives me any knowledge, that gives me any sort of clue, so that's a weaker kind of rov than a piece of meat that I know of the 10 possible stores it comes from, and I have specific knowledge about each of those stores. That's how Rav Elchanan understands. The Ran Masechet Avodah Zarah says that a rov that's yadua lefaneinu is more chashuv to be mevatel miut and to make the miut kamisha eino. Whereas ruba de lesa kaman, we don't make the miut kamisha eino. We don't say that there are a certain number of people that are sris and islandess, so they don't exist. No, they do exist. Of course they exist. So you don't have the kamisha eino when it comes to ruba de lesa kaman. The Chasam Sofer explains that ruba de lesa kaman, we don't have a yediya vada'is that it's a rov. It just seems that way. Like a katan and a katana, we never took a poll. Did we travel the entire world? Maybe there's an entire continent in Africa where everybody's a sris and an islandess for all we know. We have no idea about a ruba de lesa kaman. So maybe that's the reason why a ruba de lesa kaman is different than ruba di isa kaman. Now Tosas asks, why don't we learn this din that we follow the rov from the fact that we already said that we follow a chazaka? And because, I mean, that was yesterday's daf, is how we know that chazaka is meaningful. Because the din that you follow the rov is stronger than following the chazaka, because ruba chazaka ruba adif, and l'chora, that's a svara, that ruba chazaka ruba adif. So once you tell me that we follow chazaka, and ruba chazaka ruba adif is a svara, so it's mistaver that you're going to follow rov in a vacuum, that you'd follow rov. So Tosla says that according to the one that learns chazaka from the pasuk, you can learn the din of rov misvara. But over here, the Gemara is assuming like the sheet of Rav Acha bar Yaakov in yesterday's daf, who says you cannot learn from a pasuk that we follow chazaka. So the Gemara wants to know, according to that, how do I know that we follow rov? Because the din of chazaka is only Allah l'moshe misinai. So you cannot say a svara on something that's only a halacha l'moshe misinai. Halacha l'moshe misinai doesn't have to be svaradik. And then Tosfos quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Chaim that the din of rov being better than a chazaka is not really a svara. It's derived from the fact that we find by Parah Aduma that Yirmaza the Mechatos on people that are becheskas temeim and they become tahorim. And we're not choshesh that the Parah Aduma was a treifa and therefore doesn't have the capacity to be mitaher. And the Gemara is going to say that's one of the bases for the idea that we follow rov, that rov beimus and trefus, so rov is better than a cheskas tuma. That's the source. So the very source for how I know rov is the source for the fact that rov is better than chazaka. It's not a svara that rov is better than chazaka. So that's the That's the approach, different approaches to why it is that I need a source for Rove. But bottom line is, we now framed the question. How do I know I follow Rove? And don't tell me about Ruba de Issa Kaman. That I know is Achirem Lahatos. How do I know we follow Rove on Ruba de Lessa Kaman? And we're going to have 10 suggestions of how we know we follow Rove on Ruba de Lessa Kaman. Amir Blazar and the Gemara says, Simin Zman Shevach Mechanish, which breaks up the 10 answers into three groupings. The first three, the second three, and the third three, which is very helpful because they actually fit very nicely into three groupings. Zman are the first three, Amorayim Rabbi Lazar, Marbarei Deravina, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So the known as Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and they all learn from karbanos, from the Karban Pesach, from the Aliyah of a Karban, from the Rosh of a Karban Ola, and Shevach is the next Amorayim, Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Idi, Rabba Bar Rav Shila, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And they all learn from behemos that are shechted bachutz, from a Parah Aduma, from a Seir Mishtaleach, from the Agla Rufa, and then the last group, so again, the first three are all going to learn from Kabanos, the second three are all going to learn from ritual behemas, but not Kabanos, things that are done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and Mechanish are the last four Amoraim, Rav Mari, Rav Kana, Ravina, and Rav Ashi, and they learn from Dine Nefashos, from a variety of different halachos of Dine Nefashos, from Edim Zomin, and Maka Avimo, and Horeg Nefesh, so they're going to learn, so that's that breaks down the 10 answers into three groupings, which is always helpful when you can break something down into three groupings. 10 is hard to remember, but three is a little bit easier. So let's go. Let's see what the answers are. So Amar Blazer, answer number one: Asya Mereisha Shal Ola. How do I know we follow Ruba de Lasa Kaman? We see it from the head of a carbon Ola. To Amar Kra, the pasuk says, "Vinitach Hasalun Sacheha," that you're supposed to cut up the carbon Ola into the proper pieces that you're supposed to burn on top of the mizbeach. O Salun Sachem Vlon Sachel Sachem. However, you're not supposed to cut up those pieces any further than what the halacha requires. So you cut it up into certain pieces, and one of those pieces is the Rosh, but you then don't cut up the Rosh into different pieces. The Rosh has to remain intact. But Vinecha Sheminikev Krum Shel Moach, how do you know that the Ola is not a trefa? Maybe the Krum Shel Moach is punctured, which is one of the Yudches trefas, and if it's a trefa, it's possible to use as a karban. Most animals do not have a nekev in the Krum Shel Moach. There's no way to check it because you can't cut it open. You're not allowed to cut it open, but we rely on the Rove, that Rove Behemos do not have this trefa. Says Marmimai, how do I know that the reason the Ola is kosher is because we follow Rove? Dilma, maybe the reason that it's kosher is because de palilei ubadaklei. Maybe you do cut open the head of the Ola, you just don't cut it into two pieces. So you slice it open on one side so that you're able to reach in and examine the Krum Shel Moach, but you don't actually cut it in half. You don't cut it through and through. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, you're not allowed to butcher it any further. You're only not allowed to butcher it further to cut it into more pieces than the Torah requires. But in a case where they're still attached on one side, that would be perfectly fine. So maybe really the reason the behemoth is kosher for a karban is because you actually checked it and you know that it's not a trefa. So this is not a raya that we follow Rove. Ask Tosos, why don't we prove that we follow Rove from the fact that the Torah is mitzvah us to bring karbanos on Shabbos? Because shouldn't we be choshish that maybe the behemoth is a trefa and you're shechting it on Shabbos and you're mechal Shabbos? So Elamai, why are we allowed to shecht on Shabbos? Because we follow Rove. So Tosos asks, isn't that a better raya? How come the Gemara doesn't bring that as a raya? So Tosos suggests that it's not such a great raya, because even if you don't follow Rove, but every karban when you go to shecht it is a suffix trefa by definition, because every animal is a suffix that maybe there's something wrong with it. But Litzorach Avodas Beis HaMikdash, we say that the Torah is matiras to be Mechal Shabbos even misafik. Where do we find such a thing? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for suffix pikuach nefesh. So just like you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, and that includes even suffix pikuach nefesh, so too you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Shechitas HaKorbanos, even suffix Shechitas HaKorbanos, because you do the best that you possibly can do. So that's how Tosos suggests. Vayter in the Gemara, answer number two. Marbarei Ravina Omar, Asya Mishviras Etzem BePesach. How do I know that we follow rov from the din that you're not allowed to break a bone of a carbon pesach. The Amar Rachmana, the pasuk says the etzem lo sishbruvo, that you're not allowed to break a bone on the carbon pesach. Menecha shemenikiv krum shel malach. Well, if you're not going to be able to break a bone, you're never going to be able to examine the membrane around the brain of the animal of the carbon to see that it's not a treifa. Ella mishum damrin zil basaruba. Yeah, but most animals don't have that treifa, and therefore you rely that this is from the rov, and therefore it's not going to be problematic. Says Marmi Mai, how do you know that we're following rov? Dilma demanukum martele v'kalile badukle. Maybe enochinami, not allowed to break a bone, so you can't crack open the skull of the carbon pesach to be able to check the krum shel moach. But what you can do is you can put a boiling hot coal on the bones of the skull till it burns through, so you're not breaking the bone, you're just destroying the bone by burning it, and then you'll be able to examine the krum shel moach, and maybe that's what you need to do when you're bringing carbon pesach. That would make for a very busy erev pesach, that they would have to do that on every single carbon pesach. Remember the Gemara and the Mishnayos describe quantum walking knee deep in blood. It was chaos on erev pesach, and then we're adding we'd be adding a lot to the process by doing that. But maybe that's what they actually had to do. D'tanya mechatek begidim v'asorif batzamos ein bo mishum shviras etzem. After all, that's not a violation of shviras etzem. So this is not a raya that we follow rov. Tosas asks that l'chora we could still prove that we follow rov from Karm Pesach. On Karm Pesach it's brought on Shabbos. If Erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook or burn and the bone. So the Torah, and yet you're still allowed to bring Karm Pesach, meaning this burning of the bone may not be a problem. That's a Melasish Bruvo, but it is a problem of burning something on Shabbos. You're not allowed to burn things on Shabbos unnecessarily. So Tosa says that according to the Dechi of the Gemara, that we don't follow the Rov, but by Shabbos, who would be mutter to be but even on Shabbos, who would be mutter to be Sorik the Atzem, to be Bodik the Behemoth Trefa, because any that CF Shalasso Samer of Shabbos is going to be Docha Shabbos. And if this is something that needs to be done with the Karban Pesach, so then we'd be willing to say that this is something that needs to be done on Shabbos. I mean, everything you do with the Karban Pesach is a Malacha on Shabbos, but you do what you got to do. So this would be part of what you got to do. And therefore, that would not be the Ma'akev over here. Third possible answer, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Asya Me Alya, that we learn it from the Alya of a Karban Shlamim or a Chatos that's a Kevis or an Ayil, where the halach is that we burn the ayil, the aliyah with the zarev. We burn the fatty tail. Da'am Rachmana, where the Torah says, chelbo ha'aliyah tamima, that the aliyah has to be shlema, it has to be complete. That's what the word tamima means. We're not supposed to cut it into two pieces. Ay v'lech shemenivsko chut ha'shidra, but the end of the spine is in the aliyah, and one of the trefos is that the spine is cracked. So how are you ever going to be able to examine if the spine was cracked in that area? Allah mishum damin zil basaruba. It must be because most do not have a crack in the spine in that spot, and therefore you can follow the rov. That is perfectly fine. No, maybe the alia is only further down on the tail, past where the spine, where a crack in the spine would make it a trefa. Says, well, no, it's not true. Lumas ha'atzam rachman makom shaklayus yatzos. That the section that's called the alia that gets burnt is already all the way up by the kidneys. From the kidneys and further, that's called the alia. And over there, the spine, a crack in the spine would actually make it a trefa. So that's answer number three. How do I know I follow rov? From the fact that you have to burn the alia, and there's no way of examining for the trefa that's in the alia that might be in the alia. So it must be because I'm not choshish for that trefa, since rov are not trefos. Says Marmi Mai, how do you know that you're not examining it? Dilma de pasukla batukla. Maybe you cut it open and you are bodek for the chuta shidra. You bodek the spine in that place. Vimishum tamima. You can tell me, but we said you're not allowed to cut it open. It has to be complete. Hanimi leicha de chatacha legamri. It's still called tamima if you don't cut it into two pieces. Life, less limba. But if you cut it open and just leave it as one piece, when you cut it, don't cut it through and through. Cut it open enough that you'll be able to reach inside to be able to examine the chuta shidra. So therefore, this is not a raya either, because it could be that's what they had to do with every single time they brought a carbon whose aliyah had to be burnt on the mizbeach. Maybe they cut it open and examined the chuta shidra. So far, three attempts at determining how I know we follow rov. All of them relate to carbonos, right? Attempt number one was was about the head of a carbon ola. Attempt number two was about the carbon pesach, not breaking the bone in the skull of the carbon pesach. And attempt number three was about the aliyah that gets burnt on the mizbeach, which also covers up a potential treifa. And we rejected all three answers. None of them work because it could be that you taka do examine in all three of those cases. Now the next group. So answer number four. Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi Amar Asya Me Egla Arufa. We derive that you follow Rove from Egla Arufa. Da Amar Rachmana, the Torah says when it comes to Egla Arufa, Ha Arufa Kishi Shleima Tehave. That it has to be an Egla Arufa that's fully intact. That you're not supposed to slice it up into pieces. But maybe it's a treifa. So and you can't check because you have to keep it intact. Why am I not worried that it's a treifa? Because we could follow the rove, and rove of the animals are not treifos. Maybe you'll reject that raya. Maybe we don't really follow the rove, and we do have to be choshesh that it's a treifa. But who cares that it's a treifa? An egla arufa is not a carbon anyway, so maybe it's not going to be puzzle when it's a treifa. Maybe the fact that it's a treifa would not bother me. So amri debe rabbiyane kaparik siv bakikachim. No, the Torah calls egla arufa kapara. It says kaper liamcha Yisrael, which means that it's just like by kachim, it's going to be possible. If it's a treifa, so too an egla arufa that's a treifa would be possible. So you're not allowed to have an egla arufa that's a treifa, but you're not allowed to examine it for treifos. So must be that we follow the rove, and rove behemos are not treifos. As far as egla arufa, and also as far as Parah Adum is concerned, Tosos in Dibra Maskel Asya Me Egla, Tosos points out that the Gemara does not reject it, that you could cut the behema open on one side, like the Gemara had said previously by the Rosh of the Ola and the Aliyah, because over there the miut of the pasuk that it has to be is that it has to be shlemos, but over here this but after the Arifa Sa'egla and at the time of the Sreifa Sapara, you need the Egla and the Parah to be shlemos like it was at the Shas Shchita and the Arifa. So it's not just that it has to be intact, but it has to be kishas arifa. It has to be kishas shchita of the Parah Aduma. And therefore, even if you were to cut it only on one side, it would not be the way. While it might be shalem, it would not be the way it was kishas arifa. It would not be the way it was kishas shchita. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't even suggest that as a possibility, like we did with the first three. Right? The first three, we said, okay, there's a way in. You can break it, but break it in an unusual way. You know, cut it in a way that doesn't cut it all the way through. We don't suggest that with Egla Arufa, because by Egla Arufa it still wouldn't be Kishas Arifa, and therefore you wouldn't be able to get away with that. Answer number five, Rabbi Shila Amar Asya Mipara Aduma. We derive it from Parah Aduma that we follow Rov. Tamar Rachman, the Torah says by Parah Aduma, Veshachat Vesaraf, Mashchitas Kshishlema, that the burning of the Parah Aduma has to be when the body is in the same condition as the Shas Shchita, which means you can't cut it open to check for any treifos. Why aren't I choshish that maybe it's a treifa? So it must be because we follow Rove. Maybe you'll tell me, oh, who says that a Parah Aduma being a treifa is a problem anyway? Maybe there's no problem with the Parah Aduma being a treifa. After all, it's not a karban. Now, chatas kariyarach. The Torah calls it a chatos, the main nidah, chatosi. So the Torah clearly calls it a chatos, and therefore it cannot be a treifa, just like a carbon chatos cannot be a treifa. Now, wait a second. The Parah Aduma l'chora, Tosos points out, is definitely not a treifa, because the halacha is that a treifa is a nechaya, which means that a treifa is only able to live for a maximum of 12 months. If it survives 12 months, it's a raya that it's not a treifa. Parah Aduma is a bashtei shanim. So you're telling me, no, treifas develop over time. When it was born, it wasn't a treifa. The fact that it's Bashtei Shanim tells me that when it was born, it was not a treifa. Right, that's all it tells me. That when it was born, it's not a treifa. But that means that it had a chazaka meyikara. That it had a chazaka to meyikara, that it was not a treifa. So once I have a chazaka that it was not a treifa, maybe that's why I don't have to worry about the Parah Aduma being a treifa. Not because of rov, but because of chazaka. By definition, the Parah Aduma had a chazaka when it was born. A very strong kasha, that Tosos says. So Tosos, the kasha is so strong, wrong. Tosfos has to develop a new yesod. And Tosfos says, you know, there's a caveat in the dinim of chazaka. He says the fact that we follow a chazaka de meyakara is only if, when the chazaka de meyakara existed, we knew about it. If you were able to identify that, yes, it's muchzuk right now as such, meaning you have a mikveh that was memsa'a, and you had measured it, and you knew that it was memsa'a, at some point it changed, so then you have a chazaka d'meyukara that it was a mikveh of memsa'a. But if it was never something that you could have known at the time that it happened, when this animal was born, did you know it wasn't a treifa? No, you're going to have to wait till it lives 12 months, and then you'll know that it wasn't a treifa. If it was never mevurar b'shas chazaka, that you had a chazaka, then such a chazaka doesn't work. Which causes Yacharim to work hard on why? I mean, what does it matter that you know? Now, retrospectively, I know. I know that when it was born, it was not a treifa. Why is that not good enough for a chazaka? So Chassam Sofer says, how do I know chazaka? We know it from Nigei Batim. We know it from Tsaras and Homs, like we learned yesterday. And over there, the chazaka was Huver B'Shaita. The chazaka was something that when it existed, you knew about the chazaka, that the nega was the proper size. Say, the whole idea of deriving something from that which says in the Torah is a big chiddush that there's such a thing called chazaka. So we can only apply it to the case that the Torah actually gives, which is when it was huvra adavar at the shas chazaka. But a big yisod that Tosfos has over here, that in terms of limiting the din of chazaka. Now, answer number six: Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Asya Misir Mishaleach. How do I know the din that we follow wrote from the Sir Mishaleach? The Rachmana Amar, the Torah says when it comes to the Seirim of Yom Kippur. That tells me that the two Seirim are supposed to be identical to one another. They look the same, they're the same height, they're worth the same amount of money. Maybe one of the Seirim is a Trefa, and even though the Seir LaHashem you could check after you shechted for all the Trefas, but how are you going to check the Seir LaAzazel? It never gets shechted, it gets thrown off a cliff. So why aren't you choshish that maybe that was a Trefa, and therefore it's not shtei and shavos. Why am I not worried about that? Because rove of the time, it's not a treifa, and therefore I have the right to rely on the rove. Maybe you'll say, well, who cares if the seir mishtaleach is a treifa? It's not a carbon anyway, so it doesn't matter if it's a treifa. No, in order to be a valid seir lazazel, it has to be something that the raffle could have been able to turn out the other way, and it still would have been kosher. That even had it had to be something that was roi to be a seir LaHashem. And if it's a treifa, then it's not roi to be the seir LaHashem. Maybe you'll tell me, no, we go, after we chuck the seir LaZazel off the cliff, we then chase it down and go examine all the entire body for the yudchas treifa, so we make sure that it wasn't a treifa. Says, well, that's impossible. It's a really steep and high cliff where when you throw it off, by the time it gets halfway down, it's already dismembered into a million pieces. So you can be able to find the treifas, meaning the treifas could have been caused by the trauma of the fall, and not from you'll never know whether it was a treifa beforehand or not. So that's not something that's practical to be able to know, and therefore that's the source that we follow Rov, the fact that we don't assume that it's a treifa. Answer number seven, Rav Mari Amar Asya Mimaka of Avi'imo. How do I know that we follow Rov from the din of Maka of Avi'imo? That the halacha is, if a person is maka of a vi'imo, that he's mosi mas, that must rely on a rov. Why? Dam Rachmana Katle. The Torah says we kill the guy for being maka of a vi'imo. How do you know that this guy that raised him and that's married to his mom, that it's really his father? You don't know that it's really, they look alike. I don't know, the father's brother doesn't look so dissimilar. Yeah, it could be, you don't know for sure that this is his son. Meaning a mother, you know, because she carried him for 9 months. So you could see that the baby came out of her body. But the father, you don't know with certainty. So it must be because we say that we follow the rov and rov bi'ilo sachar abal, and we assume that most of the time a woman has bia, a married woman has bia, it's with her husband, and therefore it's all based on rov. Now the Ramban writes that the Gemara could have proven it from the fact that the Torah is mechayiv you on the arayos on your father's side. How do you know that any of those people are actually related to you? I mean, meaning it doesn't have to be from Makkah of the Vimo. It could have been from just the fact that we make assumptions that you're related to your father when it comes to violating the arayos, you know, like Eishas Achi Aviv, Eishas Achiv Me'aviv, all of those things. That if you don't follow the rov, then you don't know who your father is. So the Ramban writes, the Gemara could have given that as the basis. So basically, the idea that we follow rov is the assumption that it's your father. Like I mentioned on Shabbos, that's the Maisa with when Reb Chaim was a little boy. They said, how come if mom asks for a glass of water and dad asks for a glass of water, you get a glass of water for dad? But mom is a vadai, dad is only a suffek, dad is only a rove. We only know he's your father because of a rove. So Reb Chaim said, yeah, but if that's the svara for giving mom the glass of water first, then that's not a kavod to mom, because then you're telling mom, I'm not so sure that you were so faithful to dad. So that itself is insulting. So that's not an act of kavod to mom if you were to do that. So, okay, so mimai, how do I know that that's because we follow rov? Maybe you do know for sure it's your father. Maybe for the entire year prior to your birth or whatever, your mom and dad were locked alone in a room and there was no other man that had access. So you know it must have been your father. There's only one man that could have impregnated your mother. Says, you never know for sure. Someone could have gotten in there. Someone could have, there's always another guy that could have, that could have been able to get in there. The Gemara Nida says that, yeah, I mean, obviously, Beis HaSurin has a guard, so the guard could have taken advantage of the mother. So Tulsa says, maybe the guard is a Sris, or maybe it's a female guard, a female prisoner, so she can't impregnate the mother. Yeah, but she could be bribed by someone else to let them in. So there's always a possibility. There's always something that could have happened. Answer number 8, Rav Kahana Amar Asya Mehoreges HaNefesh, that we learn it from someone who murders. We kill a murderer, but maybe the murder victim was already a treifa, and the halacha is that bezin shalmata does not kill you for murdering a person who is a treifa. Horiges a treifa is pater because gavra katil lo katil. You're killing someone who's a walking dead man. Now the Rambam writes horiges a treifa afal pisha ochel v'shoso mahalich b'shuk. A treifa looks like me and you. It looks like a regular guy. He's got some sort of illness that's undiagnosed at this point, could be undiagnosed at this point, and then it will be diagnosed and it will be told you have 2 weeks to live and that will be the end of him. He's already a treifa, says the Rambam. Hareza pater midine adam. You're still pater midine adam for killing him. So the Achronim say, ooh, the Rambam told us something important over there. Pater midine adam. You're not considered a murderer only midine adam, that Beis Din doesn't have the ability to be manish for it. But Beis Din Shalmaila, you're still a murderer, right? Even if you're horeg as a treifa. But bottom line is, how do I know that any time a person commits murder, that the victim was not a treifa? Must be, because we're following the rove. And rove of the people are not treifos. Maybe the case is we do an autopsy. And meaning, maybe enochinami. I have to be choshesh that the person that he killed is a treifa, and I cannot execute a murderer unless we do an autopsy on the victim and make sure that the victim was not a treifa. And only once the autopsy results yield that the victim was not a treifa, only then are you going to be able to execute the murderer. Hakaminavel says the Gemara, an autopsy? Jews don't do autopsies. That's a nivla mace. You can't do that. Sometimes you can, meaning if it's a matter of pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to do an autopsy. And this seems to be a matter of pikuach nefesh for this guy that murdered him. Meaning, is it we have to know if we should kill him or not. So that's going to be docha, the factor of kavod ames, because we have to, you know, we have to look for any svara to not kill the guy. So it's pikuach nefesh. Says Gemara, even an autopsy won't be absolute, won't yield an absolute result, because you'll find that the murderer killed him by stabbing him. Maybe in the very makum that he stabbed him, there was already a hole in his lung, there was already a hole in his heart, and therefore the guy was already a treifa, and that you can't examine anymore. Tosafot says, maybe when the Torah says that you kill a rotzeach, maybe it's only if it was a drowning victim, meaning who says it was a stab? Maybe you drowned him, and therefore all the treifas would still be, you'd still be able to examine for all the treifas in an autopsy. So Tosafot says, yeah, it's enticing to say until you read the Chumash. The Chumash says, v'im b'kli etziyad hikahu, im b'kli barzel Nitzel Hikahu. The Torah says that you killed him by striking him, and then you're still going to be Chayiv Misa. So in that case, an autopsy won't yield the results that it's needed to yield. So it must be that the reason why we execute a murderer is because we're Halicha Charov. Answer number 9, Ravina Amar Asim Edim Zomim. We derive it from Edim Zomim, Dam Rachmanov Asisim Lokash Zomim, where the Halach is that if two Edim testify that Reuven killed Shimon, and then two other Edim came and said that the first two Edim could not have known about Reuven killing Shimon because Imanu Yisim, you were with us somewhere else on the day you claimed to have seen this crime happen, so we killed the Edim Zomim. But maybe the guy that they were made sheker about was really a treifa, so they were killing a dead man, and therefore they shouldn't get killed on account of their Edus. So why aren't I choshesh for that? It must be because we follow the Rove, and Rova the people are not treifos. Maybe you say, no, we check the guy to see if he was a treifa. We do an autopsy on the guy that they testified against to see if he was a treifa. Says, well, you can't do an autopsy on a live person. And the guy that they testified against, they're only going to be Edom Zomim. And if the guy that they testified against was never actually killed, Vatanya, Berebi Omer, Lo Hargu Naragin, Hargu Einaragin. That if they never actually executed the person that they testified against, that's when they can become Edom Zomim, that are going to get killed. But if they actually Hargu, they actually killed the guy that they testified against, then the Edom Zomim are ain't there rugged. So there's no possibility of an autopsy. The guy is alive. Now who is this Barabi that we're quoting? Barabi Omer Lo Hargu. So Rashi writes that whenever we didn't know the name of a Chacham, but we just knew that he was one of the Gedolei Adar, we'd call him Barabi. It was like a Lashon of Kavod for a person. Now the Yehuda writes that whenever it says in Shas the name of a Chacham with the addition of Barabi, it means he was a Gadol Adar. But whenever it just says his name, it just calls him Barabi without any other name, it must be that this was a name, that that's just what his name was. Okay, answer number 10. Rav Ashi Amar Asyo Mishchita Atzma. How do I know we follow Rov? From Shchita itself, meaning the topic of Chulin, of first parak of Chulin. Damar Achman, Shchot Ve'achol. The Torah says you could shecht and then you're allowed to eat meat. When you shech the animal, you're cutting the simanim. How do you know that there wasn't already a hole in the simanim of the animal on the very spot where you cut it? Maybe the animal was already a trefa and there's no way of examining. You just sliced it open. Must be that we assume most animals do not have a hole in the kana and veshet, and dafka in the spot where you cut it. So therefore, you could rely on the rove. And so it's based on shechita itself. Some ravashi amrita lishmaita kamed rav kahana. I said this in front of Rav Kahana, all these rayos from all these Amuraim, va'amri la Rav Kahana kamed Rav Shimi, and some say that Rav Kahana said all these rayos in front of Rav Shimi, va'amri lei, va'amar lei, and Rav Kahana or Rav Shimi said to reject all of these rayos, v'dil mehechad afshar, afshar hechad lo afshar lo afshar, maybe that really the halacha is we don't follow Rav. But a number of these, out of these 10, whatever it was, 6, 7 of them, were good rayos that we do follow Rav. Maybe, yeah, when it's possible to be mevarer, you have to be mevarer and you shouldn't follow Rav. It's only when it's impossible to be mevarer, what the metzius is, it's impossible to know for sure, that's where you follow Rav. But maybe, enochinami, when you shecht an animal, you need to check for all 18 trefos, because if it's possible to be mevarer, you got to be mevarer. And we would not follow Rav on that. You don't have to check for a trefa on the place where you shechted, because that's impossible. But wherever it's possible, you have to check. Otherwise, if you don't say like that, the Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Lemiyuta, Rabbi Meir's opinion is that we're Choshish Lemiyuta, that we don't follow Rav. So, do you think Rabbi Meir didn't eat meat? Was Rabbi Meir a vegetarian? Because he said that we don't follow Rav, we have to be Choshish for the meat. So maybe in the place where you did the Shechita, the animal already had a hole in that spot on the Kana and Veshet, and therefore the animal was already a trefa? So you can tell me Rabbi Meir holds that it's also to eat meat? It's funny that the Gemara personalizes it. You're going to tell me Rav Meir didn't eat meat? It's not about whether Rav Meir ate meat. You're going to tell me Rav Meir held you're not allowed to eat meat? The Torah says you're allowed to eat meat, right? So it's strange. Did he not eat meat? Maybe you're going to tell me Enochinami, Rav Meir didn't eat meat. Well, Pesach Hukachim, Michael the Meimar. Sometimes there's a mitzvah to eat meat, right? They have a mitzvah, Vachilas Karm Pesach, Vachilas Abasar, and even by other Kabbalas, Vachilas Amasher Kuparbahem. So we learn that the Kapara is is of the karban is totally somewhat on the achila. So Ma'ikal Meimar, how's Rav Meir going to explain that? So it must be that he's moda that you're supposed to eat some of these karbanos. Ela hecha de efshar efshar hecha de lo efshar lo efshar. So you have to say that even Rav Meir was choshish lemiuta, meaning don't prove to me that we follow Rav from the fact that karbanos are kosher, that meat is kosher, because even the shita that holds we don't follow Rav holds that meat is kosher. So why? Because he says, whenever you could be mvar, you could be mvar. Whenever you can't be mvar, you can't be mvar. And therefore, we have no raya that you follow Rov. So by all of these rayos, if it's low efshar, so then you follow Rov. But if it's efshar to be mvarer, then you have to be mvarer. Which means amazing. Lemaskanas haGemara, 10 answers, none of them stand. So how do I know that we actually follow Rov? It must be either Achrem Nahatos, Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Achrem Nahatos was Gemara's first answer. It didn't work. That's because Gemara assumed there was a difference between Ruba Disa Kaman and Ruba Delasa Kaman. Maybe that was wrong. Maybe there's no difference between Ruba Disa Kaman and Ruba Delasa Kaman. And that's what the whole basis of following Rove is all about. Okay, but Shem will pick up from there tomorrow.